Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Well, just 2 days ago marked the 75th anniversary of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO. Now, its opponents, particularly in Russia, have called it the North Atlantic Terrorist Organization. So it was founded in 1949, very much in the shadow of the Second World War, and the Cold War had already begun. Most people say that that was declared by Winston Churchill in February 1946, when he addressed Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. By then, he was leader of the opposition in the United Kingdom, no longer prime minister. He did come back as PM, but saying that an iron curtain had fallen across Europe from Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic. Anyway, the Soviet Union was extant and was very mighty, the second most powerful country in the world, that suffered horrific losses in the Second World War, perhaps 25 million people killed. An awful lot of them Ukrainian, Belarusian, about half of them Russian, and various other Soviet nationalities. But the Red Army, the Soviet Union, had advanced much further west. And so they were there in East Germany. Germany's divided until 1989. They were there in Austria and various other Central and Eastern European countries, Poland, Czechoslovakia, which still existed, Romania, Bulgaria. I could go on. Hungary. Am I missing out anyone? Anyway. So that was the communist ideology being disseminated throughout the globe. A lot of people really believed up until the late 1980s that communism would triumph, the Soviet Union would be the unipolar power, and the communist ideology would take over the entire world. The United States would crumble, capitalism would fall away to nothing, and so forth. And that appeared to be not unlikely, even to the 1980s. Obviously, the communist system of the Soviet Union was a particularly cruel, genocidal system that was extraordinarily oppressive, violently intolerant of the mildest descent, extremely racist, whole ethnic groups put on cattle trucks, just like in the Third Reich, and sent into exile in the snowy wastes or the scorching deserts of Kazakhstan. Many people died on the way. Now, if they were going to kill you, they just shot you. Usually, they occasionally used gas chambers in the 30s on a much smaller scale than the Third Reich. Now, some people survived the journey, survived slave labor. Some people were enslaved on the basis of ethnicity there. And it's true that some of them survived and were released years later. So you might say it was not quite as bloodthirsty as the Third Reich. But it was certainly a grossly unjust system, supposedly dedicated to humanitarianism, supposedly egalitarian, but in reality it was anything but. It was very much a closed society. You weren't even allowed to leave. At least Nazi Germany allowed to get out, and so on. Banning Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, Johann Christian Bach, was outlawed. That was a crime to listen to these classical composers. No freedom of religion. I could go on. So obviously most of the free world did not want this violent oppression to come on them. So this is a system which deliberately starved to death many of its people after the Second World War, that was attacking Poland while supposedly an ally, even during the Second World War, had attacked in 1939, causes the Second World War, just like Germany. But even the Polish Home Army, the Polish resistance movement, being attacked by their supposed allies, the Red Army, at the end, because Stalin just wanted it as a satrapy of the Soviet Union, stealing territory off the Poles and others right at the end of the war. So NATO was founded to resist this. And right at the end of the Second World War, there was a danger the United States would return to isolationism. Because remember, it had been isolationist before the First World War, because there was the Monroe Doctrine. And yes, they cared about their hemisphere. They would intervene in the Caribbean and Central America. But they didn't get involved in other continents, although they had Liberia is largely a puppet state for African Americans who'd chosen to re-emigrate to Africa. Hello there, Gary Swofford. But they just said that no, foreign power outside the American continent should get involved in that continent. So very reluctantly dragged into the First World War, very reluctantly dragged into the Second World War, would be there be a recrudescence of isolationism? Some Americans wanted that, but the Truman Doctrine came out. President Harry S. Truman proclaimed in 1947 that they were going to save the Greeks who were fighting from a communist revolution because the United Kingdom could no longer afford to pay for them. So the Americans funded Greek freedom fighters. The United States didn't actually fight there. But US military bases were going to be set up all over the world. So NATO was founded. Okay, so NATO then having Brussels as its headquarters, Yeah. So that was a military alliance to see that the Soviets couldn't attack. It's got a secretary general who's usually a superannuated politician. There's a military chairman of NATO, or the military NATO committee, actually an American, and economic might of Russia. I remember Russia doesn't have any firm allies. Even Belarus isn't fighting for them in Ukraine. So that's what NATO is all about. And West Germany was only allowed to get its army back in 1955 on the basis it joined NATO, and it then could be trusted. The Federal Republic of Germany. Obviously, the two Germanys have reunited these days. But it's expanded and expanded NATO. More and more countries want to come into it. So then there was no Third World War. The Soviet Union collapsed from within, as a Marxist might say, under the weight of his own contradictions. And so some of these erstwhile Soviet states were very keen to join NATO before they thought the Russian bear would get aggressive again. And they were not wrong, as time has proved. So there are about a dozen countries originally in it. Why is it called North Atlantic? Because it's on both sides of the North Atlantic. It's got Canada and the USA, as various Western European countries, Spain, Portugal, France, the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, the United Kingdom. In the Republic of Ireland, we refuse to join. Neutrality is our policy. The other thing is Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, and people said, well, we can't join NATO whilst the British troops are in Northern Ireland. So on Norway joined, which obviously bordered the Soviet Union, now Russia, and eventually West Germany, Italy, Austria didn't join. In 1955, it was agreed that the Soviets and the Western troops would leave Austria, and in return, Austria would be neutral permanently. Likewise, Finland didn't join until this Ukraine war, or Sweden. But anyway, the fall of the Soviet Union, more and more NATO countries joined. Now, supposedly, President George W. Bush Sr. said something to Mikhail Gorbachev, the Soviet leader, at about 1990, that NATO wouldn't move one inch to the east. But some say, oh, that means they weren't stationed troops in East Germany when it reunites with the West. But that's not in any treaties, it's not legally binding. And, President George Herbert Walker Bush might have said that, but he cannot speak on the behalf of the whole of NATO, which even at the time was over a dozen member states. So Poland, the Czech Republic, Slovakia have joined it, Romania, Bulgaria, all former communist countries, Albania, likewise, Montenegro, formerly part of Yugoslavia. And then former Soviet republics have joined it, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. Now, whereas Ukraine aspires to join it, and obviously Putin was desperate to make sure that doesn't happen because that was the birthplace of Russia, it's bad enough for him that that the Baltic states are part of it, because they're part of the Russian Empire, part of the Soviet Union, and he hates that. And obviously he wants to aggress them, he wants to oppress them, and force them to be subjugated. So that's why he's launching this Ukraine war. In a sense, he's achieved his objective because Ukraine's never going to join NATO while Russian troops are there. There's Article 5. If you're a NATO member and you're attacked, you can invoke Article 5. Everybody has to come to your aid. Well, actually, they discuss it, but then they're meant to come to your aid. And the United States, the only one ever invoked it over Afghanistan, over 9/11. And so that's why all the NATO countries had to send troops there. Getting Greece and Turkey to join in the early 1950s was quite a big achievement because the Cyprus dispute was already going. Cyprus is still a British colony, and they're very much at each other's throats. There's a pogrom against Greeks and Turkey a few years earlier. Anyway, so that is NATO. Would Moldova join? Some people in Georgia would like to join. Even people, some people from Armenia have talked about joining. So that's it. And you go back to the late 90s, there was talk, would even Russia join? And Putin said, I can't remember to which British politician was there. So, well, when are we going to be invited to join NATO? So you have to apply. Well, no, we want to be invited because he's an egomaniac. He's very much about Russian inflated national pride. He's a chauvinist, and it would humiliate him to think he'd have to apply in an ordinary way. Rules don't apply to him, which is why he likes to underline his own importance by being grossly inconsiderate and blocking the traffic, making people wait for hours for him. Well, he's a complete prick because he's got such a brittle ego. Anyway, so that is NATO. Can it save Ukraine? Well, obviously, if it supplies, it can, but it's choosing not to do so. NATO boots on the ground. Well, most people are saying we're not going to put any troops in there, despite President Macron talking about it. Lord Cameron, the British Foreign Secretary, said no way. I think he's right because the British military is just so tiny. Things NATO could have done is gone into Ukraine only up to the river Dnieper. Say, so long as you don't advance west, the Dnieper won't get involved, but they might get bombarded because west of the Dnieper is bombarded all the time. Do they strike back? That could be a Third World War. Now, I don't want the whole of Ukraine to be conquered, but that would not be as bad as the war that wipe out the human race. You've got to go for the lesser of two evils. I think so often in politics is avoiding the worst. That is the wisest stratagem. So more countries may aspire to join. There's still a few countries in Southeast Europe not members of it. Republic of Ireland. There's not much of a groundswell to join it. It's less of an unpopular idea than it used to be. So, I think it does have a future. There's a possibility that the United States will pull out, but Trump is right. I mean, pull out, Trump comes back. That countries don't spend the 2% limit. Many of them don't spend it. And even after this war, they're still being too stingy and wasting their money on other things, on welfare programs, and not trying to save themselves. Right. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.